Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen, and we are the Love Letter Squad. And we are bringing you today another wonderful time about in talking about love letters. We are a show about just that. This is called Love Letters Live, and it's about love letters. And it's about people who have stories to share and love letters that come from those stories. And it's a chance for people to put their best selves to paper, a love letter is. It's a chance to express what you feel, by the way, while you still have the chance, mm-hmm. and stamp it and mail it and make somebody else's life richer.
And just to clarify, these aren't just romantic love letters.
No, most of them are not. They are love of all different kinds. So let's just go right to our guest today. We have William Otero, who is the founder of the Leland Tea Company.
Here in San Francisco.
Yes, here in San Francisco, a wonderful place to just have a wonderful interlude in your day. And we can, I think we're going to let William talk a little bit about what the tea company does and its history and why he has this constant beatific smile in his face. I'm sure it's connected.
It's caffeine from tea.
I don't think so. But let's just go to you. I just want to say one thing. I met William because I had the joy of walking into the Leland Tea Company one afternoon with a friend, and the person behind the counter looked up with such a smile, made me feel like I had walked into my own family home. And it is kind of the general attitude and feeling there. And then I met William, and it continued, and I knew that he had a love letter in him.
Well,
so
can we just say, because I have not had the pleasure of going there, what's the address?
It's located on Bush, between mm-hmm. Van Ness and Polk. It's 1416 Bush.
And you have a website that you'd like
yes.
to share with
it's,
people?
It's LelandTea.com.
LelandTea.com. LelandTea.com. Okay. So tell us something about you. I mean, where were you? Just start from the beginning because we don't know anything about you yet. Where were you born? What was your family like? And then what was your road to this tea company and that beautiful smile that you've always got on your face?
Okay. I was born back east. I'm an East Coast kid. Mm-hmm. Jersey. And I'm one of seven. I'm one of an original seven. My mother went on and adopted another five. But,
another five,
so,
you
yeah,
said?
Yeah, on the big scheme of things, I'm one of 12.
So you come from a naturally giving family. This is important.
Yeah, I come from a pretty big family. You learn to share really quick.
Mm-hmm. Where in the seven do you fall?
In the seven, I fall six. Uh-huh. Okay. I fall number six in the seven, and I fall 11 in the 12.
So she was your parents were adopting children while they were having their own then?
My mother was out to save the world, uh-huh. and she'll tell anyone she saved 12 of them.
Well, nice.
What a nice story.
That's, in a nutshell, a little bit about the beginning. From the seven, my mom didn't adopt until I was nine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a new edit. And I kind of don't like using the adopt word simply because
they're yours.
One. Yeah, yes. they're my brothers and sisters.
Yes,
so,
of course.
And I sort of have a habit of kind of collecting relatives as I go. Auntie Janice.
How nice. So how did you come to California, and what was your route to the tea company, and is your mother not involved in that?
Yes, she was. She played a big role in that, and simply because about I opened the Leland Tea Company in 2005, mm-hmm. and I was going to do coffee and crepes. And
so, but I'm curious about something. How did you come to be the person who wanted to do restaurant, or the person who wanted to make other people's lives lovely by good food? And talk about you in that.
We eat a lot. I love eating. I love food. My mother basically, she worked 11 to 7. And when she got home at 7 in the morning, she would cook breakfast.
Oh, she worked 11 to 7 where?
In the evening. She worked at a factory, a sewing factory.
When you were children?
Back east, yes. Yeah, and she would work at night because we would be sleeping, so the older brothers and sisters.
And your dad was home?
She's a single parent. My father actually took off when I was six, going on seven.
And so as a single parent, she had seven to raise, and then
and adopted five.
And then got another five children as a single parent working. So the older children must have been...
The older children were like...
Adequate to
father,
look...
mother figures kind of thing when she wasn't there.
An amazing woman.
She's pretty strong, actually. Yeah, she's pretty strong. In a nutshell, that's basically how I grew up, is in a house full of chaotic people.
But obviously loving chaos.
Yes, yes. Definitely a loving chaos.
And productive in no sense of self-pity.
And protective. My older brothers and sisters were very protective of like the younger ones. So I was very well taken care of when Mom wasn't there.
So she would work all night and then come home, and you said she cooked a big breakfast?
She would cook a big breakfast, get us off to school, and then she'd sleep until we got home from school.
So and she was able to earn a living to take care of you all while you were sleeping. It shouldn't interfere with her time with you.
Correct. And when we were at school, she would sleep.
Yeah.
So, and that's, in a nutshell, how tea came to be. we were at the grocery store, and I remember it like it was yesterday. We were at the grocery store, and in my family, everyone's a coffee drinker. Like, in a nutshell.
Oh.
Everyone drinks coffee. It was just a staple. And... one day, believe it or not, I just saw a box of just tea. It was Lipton, and I just saw it on the shelf, and I'm just like, I want tea.
You've never had it before?
Never.
How old were you?
Never had it. I was going on 9.
Uh-huh.
And
but had you had coffee before?
Yeah, I just...
I mean, you were only 9.
Drank what everyone else drank, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, we've been sucking coffee out of bottles.
I see. Okay, so you're a nice tall fellow with so much for studying your growth.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, I grabbed a box of Lipton, and the ripple that I got just in the grocery store, I think, just catapulted me into tea, because my older brothers and sisters looked at me like I was crazy.
So you were feeling independent and creative
like,
by doing this?
What's wrong with you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I felt really big.
That's great. Staking out a claim of your own.
So, yeah, they were just like, what's wrong with you? We drink coffee. We don't drink that crap tea. No, don't put that back. Put that back. And I was like, I want this.
That's great. And you liked it? It was love at first sip.
I did. I liked it. I fixed it the way Mom fixes coffee with milk and sugar, and it was... downhill after that. I loved it.
A different drink, a different thing, yeah.
Yeah, it started with tea. Then
but
I
you said that at one point you wanted to do coffee and crepes as a restaurant.
Because of that concept.
Uh-huh.
And I remembered that, and I was just like, this can't be right. And Mom, well, actually right there in the grocery store, I think it really did start the whole tea world thing. Because I went from my own box of tea to my own cereal.
Oh, a troublemaker. Yeah.
And about 6 years ago, I told Mom that I wanted to do a little something.
But you'd all moved to California?
No, I'm the only one here.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm the only one in California. Okay. And I came here through school. I got a couple of grants through the Culinary Institute.
Oh.
I worked and went to school. And I thought I wanted to be a baker, so I went to the Culinary Institute for baking. And
okay, so this answers something. So you prepared mm-hmm. yourself. I mean, you were on a road to serious...
I was on the road to something.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what I wanted. And to be honest with you, I frankly feel like Leland T is right, but every now and then I wake up and I'm like, well, maybe there's something else, or maybe I want to do a little restaurant, or maybe I want to do... I don't know. I'm constantly reinventing.
But you're educated in...
Yes, I'm educated in the kitchen.
Yes, that's
I'm
wonderful.
One of 12.
No, but you're educated. You said you went to the culinary
academy.
I did,
yes.
Okay.
But primarily the learnings came from home.
Sure.
Yeah. We basically, you fend for yourself when you want something.
But you come to this with a lot of credentials.
Yes.
Okay.
That I do. My mother prepared me very well. And she basically told me that was the only way I could get out. It was either stay in Jersey or go to school.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to go to school and get out of Jersey. And that's how I ended up in California.
Okay.
And about 6 years ago, right before I opened the Leland Tea Company, I was telling Ma, I was like, I think I want to do coffee and crepes.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she goes, you don't even like coffee. How are you going to explain to someone when they tell you, well, what's the difference between this coffee and that coffee? You can make a mean crepe. You're going to look crazy. And then I was like, you're right.
Yeah, you signed off on coffee at the age of nine,
like, yeah.
Right?
I was like, yeah.
Isn't she smart?
Totally right. So, well, I was very upset with her. I actually didn't talk to her for about two or three weeks because she caused me to go back and reinvent the wheel because I had a business plan for coffee and crepes. But she set me back for a reason, you know, and here I am today.
Well, isn't
you know,
she smart?
Yes.
Yeah? Isn't she smart? Well, I guess coffee and crepe sounds a little better than coffee or tea and crepes, right?
The alliteration is nice of coffee and crepes.
So do you also sell scones?
I do. I bake everything fresh daily there at the Leland Tea Company. Mm-hmm. I make fresh baked traditional cream scones, not just like the regular...
The ones with chocolate chips and things.
Yeah. We put. I use the same base. It's and that recipe actually comes from one of the chefs.
Oh, does it?
That actually worked for.
What about the Madeleine? Is that your mother's?
The Madeleines are my mom's.
Yes, I read that.
Yes, the Madeleines are my mom's, and so are the shortbreads. The scone recipe is the only one that I learned at the Culinary Institute in baking.
And what do you look for in the people you hire? Because they're all just. Charming beyond charming. I'm just curious.
At the Leland Tea Company, it's kind of interesting because the people that are there are like relative. Mm-hmm. They're not, I don't have employees at the Leland Tea Company. I have friends that want to help me advance.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like they were my relatives. Level. I can only imagine what you felt.
I beat them.
So, and you mentioned once that everybody showed up to paint it.
Yeah,
you mentioned that when I had tea
all
there.
All of everyone, the Leland Tea Company from scratch has been built from scratch, literally.
Can you say how that worked? I mean, what did you get, an empty building?
Everything in there, I got four blank walls. The bathroom that's there wasn't even there. And I basically put an SOS out to everyone that I knew. I told them that I had X amount of dollars. And I wanted to start my own business, and I wanted them to help me. And I didn't know how I could pay them, or if I even could pay them. But if they could come down and help me paint and sand and build, that, you know, I would buy beer and pizza.
Oh.
And sure enough.
And they'd know they were part of something.
And they were. They are. They are. Yeah. It's mandatory. And a lot of them don't live in San Francisco anymore. And but the requirement is that when they do come to San Francisco, they come home. And I show them off to all, whoever's there. I'm like, oh, this person painted my walls. Or this person helped me with the wallpaper. This person built my counter. So, yeah, I'm pretty open about
that's wonderful.
Making sure we all share the love.
Let me just interrupt this for a moment to remind our listeners that this is KUSF. This is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time, and hope you'll all join us. What's next, Janet? Who is this love letter to?
Oh, that's what I'm going to ask. So who would you write a love letter to? My mind is swimming because I can think of about 40 people offhand. And by the way, maybe, you know, you're not ever in life limited to one love letter. Maybe when you write the first one, you'll see the joy of it and want to do some others.
That's pretty loaded, actually.
Some others, some mothers. I mean, there's...
Sometimes when you have lots and lots of friends and relatives and people that you love, it's hard to decide who gets the first love letter.
That's right. And you said, I think when you came in, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I don't know... your feeling about this?
I've been on the fence for... since I met you, actually. Mm-hmm. I've been wondering, wow, who could I dedicate this love letter to? And it would sound too generic to just say everyone, you know, out
Good
there.
Point.
Because I do... I adore and love everyone.
Don't you wish this were television?
Yeah.
In
look at him.
And out.
Yes.
Not just of the Leland Tea Company, but in my life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really special when you're asked, who would you dedicate a love letter to really think about.
So go through some people.
I would start with the ringleader herself.
Yes, okay.
That would be Mom.
Let's do that.
And
say the others.
I would say my mom. My friends that helped me build the Leland Tea Company.
And how many were those?
It was nine total.
So that's doable.
Yeah, it was nine. And I also have a business partner that's played a very important part in creating the online store, the wholesale aspect of the Lilian Tea Company. He was instrumental and continues to be instrumental in my life and in the Lilian Tea Company's career or path. I would send a love letter to, you know, everyone that comes in.
Right.
Given that, you know, it's so hard now because it's a luxury. You know, going out in general is a luxury. And the fact that I still see the same familiar faces that I've been seeing since I opened is a blessing.
Okay, so you could have a little side career in writing love letters.
Yeah.
Or
I would
have it be kind of a habitual part of your life if you wanted, which is what we sure like to see. So let's start with the ringleader herself. I like the way you say that. What do you call her?
Carmen.
Oh, you call her Carmen?
No, I call her Ma.
Oh, that's what I was saying.
She won't take anything less than that.
I was saying. And her name is?
Carmen Ortiz.
Oh,
yes.
Nice. Okay. It's nice to say the name
when I'm
out
upset
loud.
With her, I call her Nora. That's her middle name.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, Nora, this isn't making me happy.
But I like what you said before that, you know, you just, it was so difficult that you didn't speak to each other. And I thought you were going to say for a year and a half, and it was 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Which I guess is really punitive in a family as loving as yours.
I know.
Right?
You don't get the option of not talking to Ma, because eventually you need her.
Right. And I can't see just from the little I know of you and looking at you that you would be able to withhold any kind of love for even that long.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's hard.
Okay, so what are the things, I'm going to write down what you say. I'm going to be your secretary here.
Okay.
What are the things that you want most to tell her? I mean, I can think of so many from what you've said. You know, we talk about a good love letter being one thing and a great love letter being another. And a great love letter is pretty much writing down the specifics about what you love, what you remember, and what you know about her that she may not know you know. Like, you know that she managed her life so that she was there as your mother every moment. The only time she was gone was when you were sleeping.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really worth, I think a mother wants to know that. You remembered things that you
I
know what she...
That. And, you know, one of the most important things, it's one of those things that no matter how old I get, I don't think I could ever forget. My mom sat me down when I was younger, and she would make us... And I thought at first that she just didn't love me.
Why?
And my mother would get us all up. She had friends in the farming industry. And when we wanted school clothes or when we wanted money in general, well, I mean, it was always tight. So she would make us go out to the fields and pick blueberries or pick cucumbers. It's the Garden State, so there's a lot of farmland in Jersey. Well, in Camden. Well, not just in Camden, because Camden is the city part. But she would put us on buses, or she would send us with her quote-unquote friends that, you know, lived or worked on farms.
Mm-hmm.
And during the summer and during the weekends, you know, when kids look forward to watching cartoons all day on Saturday. Well, we didn't have that luxury. And if we wanted school clothes or just stuff for the house that we needed, we had to go work in the fields. And for the longest, what I would do is I would eat everyone's lunch. So she would just put a spanking on me and sit me in the car because I hated the farm work.
Did you?
I hated it. And she would always tell me, she would look right at me and she would tell me, this is your life if you don't stay in school.
Oh,
and
so there was a double
is what
message.
Is coming. If you don't educate yourself or work hard to get, and sorry, I'm getting a little teary-eyed because
it's nice to get teary-eyed.
It does.
We keep Kleenex for just that.
It makes a big impact in who we become. And you know, when you sit there as a child and you think that, you know, oh, she hates me. And it wasn't easy. It's never been easy. And I'm sure no one's life is easy because we're all, you know, we all think that we have like the roughest time or the toughest time as kids. It really does make us who we are today. And I believe that no matter what you go through as a child, you're always in control of your destiny. Like, you know, I could have easily become a farm worker. I could have easily become a doctor. I could have easily become, you know, and I'm constantly reinventing myself. And it's because of her in my head constantly, you know, if you don't educate yourself, if you don't push yourself, you know, this is your life. What you live today is who you will be 50 years from now. Mm-hmm. You can't blame society. You can't blame... She would always say that to all of us. You know, and I do. I have brothers and sisters who, you know, haven't picked the best path in life, mm-hmm. but they've picked the path that they're following. And, you know, I help them as much as I can. And, but, you know, she's always there constantly saying, if you don't help yourself, you know, and take yourself to the next step or the next level, then don't stick your hand out to help anyone else because you can't. They're just going to drag you down. And that sits with me in my head constantly. And I think I've become a stronger person because of it. And I tell my friends all the time, I was like, I can't help you because I can't help myself right now.
Well, that's, yes. And if you can't help yourself, you're no good to anybody else anyway.
You're no good. Right. And my mom was always telling me that if I lose it, it all goes to Cain. I mean, it really does. So it's like you have to constantly be in, not in, well, you constantly have to be in control of your actions mm-hmm. and, you know, what you say, how you behave, how you conduct yourself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have to tell her that, you know, and I don't tell her. It's not that I don't tell her often. It's that I don't tell her at all.
Why? I wonder. You're such an expressive person.
Being, I don't know, I guess being in, coming from a family so big, you know, the little ones tend to feel like they get
unheard.
Left out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're kind of just
pigments of her imagination.
Oh, so this
is going to be a
triple
gift for her, right? So it's going to be extra important for her to get this from you.
We tend to think that we're just like imaginary pictures in her head.
You know, William, I wonder something that you mentioned early on about your decision to go with tea, and I wonder if this is something that's very much like her, where you were in the grocery store and you've said that money was always tight and there were all these children and there probably wasn't endless money to spend on groceries, and one of these 12 says, I'd like to try tea, and everyone says, oh, that's crazy, we drink coffee, and some parents would have said, you won't like it. If I buy this, you know, it's going to cost me $1 or $2 or whatever it was at that time, and you won't like it, and we can't afford that. But she didn't do that.
No, she didn't. Actually, one of my brothers pushed me, and she grabbed him and sent him out to the car. And I don't know if it was, you know, her being a referee or what went through her head, but she let me get it. Mm-hmm. She let me get it. And, I don't know, maybe in her mind she was, well, I'll let you get it because, you know, you aren't fighting. You're not running around the store like a banshee. You know.
Or it might have been that she wanted to honor your
That could have been.
Your
see, as a kid,
request.
You don't see that, though.
That's right.
As a kid, you only see the conflict and the resolution, uh-huh. you know, and you just see that mom's the ringleader, so what she says goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a nice thing to be able to say in a love letter. As a child, there was so much you didn't see or recognize, but now looking back, you do.
Yeah.
That's important.
I would definitely.
That realization. I had another question
mm-hmm.
about this having you go work in the fields mm-hmm. to earn money. Now, I understand that one of the lessons you got was, this is your life, and you didn't like it. This is your life if you don't go to school. But was there also an aspect where you got shown that you could always earn money? You
yes.
could take care of yourself. I mean, how important is that?
That was the lesson. Uh-huh. I was like, you know,
that was part of your in charge of your own destiny. Yeah, you need money for clothes.
Yeah.
Good, go earn it. You can.
Because we couldn't ask her for money. She never had any. So it was like, it was a broken record. You know, and
right.
She's just like, Ma, can I have $5 for what?
Right.
I need $5 for a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread.
Yes.
What do you need $5 for?
Yes.
What's more important? And then you're just like, ugh, why bother?
But why bother? And then, okay, but you're showing me how I can get that
$5. Exactly, yeah.
Easily.
And it wasn't an option. It wasn't like, would you like to go?
Right.
It was
because taking care of yourself in life
go.
Is not an option.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it shouldn't be.
And, like, right now, you know, she tells me every now and then we have conversations about the Leland Tea Company. And we have conversations about, you know, because I tell her every now and then, well, Ma, what do you think about a restaurant? Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm already tired. I'm not going to do a restaurant for you.
How could she not be tired?
She goes, I'm tired. I'm not going to do a restaurant. I don't want to do And I told her, well, I'll just run it. And, you know, like mom, you know, she's all like, well, you can barely keep your feet here because you're all over the street. You're always going here. You're always going there. You're doing caterings. You're doing this, that, and the other. How are you going to run a restaurant, the Leland Tea Company? And, I mean, think about that for a second. I'm not going to be around forever. And I'm like, yes, you are.
Oh, yeah.
You better be because she's the best dishwasher I have. And she kind of, you know, she's like, well, there you go. And that's your answer. She's like, you know, you're not going to do a restaurant. You're going to make the Leland Tea Company successful, and you're going to be happy. That's what you're going to do.
Those are your orders, right?
And that conversation happened about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I did. I opted not to do a restaurant, and I kind of stuck with the Leland Tea Company. And it's kind of morphed on its own. It's kind of taken.
So it's less demanding than a full-blown restaurant. I don't know how anybody runs a restaurant.
It's
so hard.
I mean, it can be just as demanding because instead of adding, expanding, or doing that whole chain thing, you know, I just... I add more aspects to it, like a wholesale department. Mm-hmm. I added a retail online store. Folks, I'm actually sending tea to tea regions of the world, which is kind of cool. We have 2 cafes in London that we sell.
No.
Our,
yes. Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
As of like almost 2 months now.
So have you told her about... Have you thanked her for this great advice? She's a very savvy woman.
You know... No, to be honest with you.
Does she know why it's tea instead of coffee now? Does she understand that decision?
You know, in my family, it's understood and not spoken, which is kind of, you know, we're very, you know, we know that we love each other. We don't tell each other that we love each
other. But, you know, that's really wonderful to know that you love each other.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of cultures and a lot of families, knowing is wonderful, and it's the basis, and it's a strength in its own. But then saying it on paper also is a different kind of gift, especially, I mean, even if you said things, having it on paper, she'll get to look at this for the rest of her life and just revel in the joy of what you're saying to paper. Because on paper, it's like really a promise meant to be kept. The other thing is, do you have grandchildren?
She does.
Her grandchildren will find this letter someday. Her great-grandchildren, nieces and nephews, generations from now, they're going to know something huge about this woman who is a giant in her capacity to take care of and love and guide and make strong her children. This is a huge talent of hers.
For my mother's 60th birthday, we all flew to, you know, our homeland, Puerto Rico, and... everyone got my mom these just gifts. You know, everyone just brought, you know, nice blouses and outfits and things. And I went to Things Remembered.
Okay.
And I got her a plate. It was like a dinner plate. But you can engrave it. So it was like a, I don't know if it's stainless steel or, but it was this metal that you can engrave. And on there, from top to bottom, from the oldest to the youngest, I put everyone's name their date of birth.
Okay.
And around the edge of the plate, and I couldn't say it because we had to read it.
Yes.
And I started to cry, and my mom started to cry.
Good.
And one of my older sisters had to actually read the plaque, and it was very simple and to the point.
Yes.
And the only thing that the plate said was, here's to the greatest role model a fatherless kid could have.
Oh, my.
And I couldn't say those words.
Okay.
And my sister was like...
And that's another thing, by the way, the beauty of a love letter. Sometimes things are hard to say out loud.
Mm.
And they're easy to write down and mail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're gonna have a little homework here. You're going to go do this pronto, right? Will you find time away from everything and just put down on some stationery, and it will be a gift on her mail pile. And we never give a gift with what we expect to get in return, of course. But I think Teresa and I would both be curious as to how she responds, and maybe we could share that with our listeners.
I have to write it in Spanish.
Perfect. Perfect. It'll be beautiful in Spanish.
Right.
Yes.
The other thing is this letter, I'll bet she'll pass it around. She'll show it to other people. And they will be inspired, we hope, to begin writing love letters that are so important. It'll be, she'll never throw this letter away, right?
She doesn't throw anything away.
Right. But this one she'll keep.
This will last forever. So you want nice, strong stationery and good, indelible ink, by the way. You don't want it flushed away by tears or spilled coffee.
Mm-hmm. Or tea.
Which she's probably still drinking, right?
She drinks coffee daily.
Yes, okay.
Drives me crazy.
Oh, thank you so much for doing this with us. What
You're
a wonderful
welcome.
Story. And
thank you.
Inspirational
thank you so
family.
Welcome. It was nice meeting both of you.
Yes. So time to sign off. Again, this is Love Letters Live. We hope you'll join us every week at this time. And you can find out more about us at our website, which is www.loveletterssquad.
LoveLetterSquad.com. Thank you.
And so until next time, please remember, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion.
Yes, it is.
So, bye-bye from Teresa
and Janet.
Till next time.